Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The Celtics have stormed ahead. This insurrection has them leading by 11.
Mark Jones had that one queued up going into the game. He's like, what can I do to get in? You know, it'd be great if you got insurrection. Say somebody, it's an insurrection if Boston takes over in Golden State. That didn't come off the top of his head.
You think it was that's specifically for Boston, he wouldn't have done it if Golden State was on a
like
run?
Like this that he writes little things in. Like,
Mark Jones has been in the game a long time, and it was clear, obviously, his first ever finals game on TV. He was calling the games for ESPN Radio, so he would have been calling the game if not for the COVID outbreak that hit Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen. But it was the first.
Van Gundy, by the way, tested negative, but he's got to have another negative.
He sounded terrible during game seven.
I texted him. Oh, no, I think he did previously. But he's got to have more than one
negative test before he can get back.
Yeah, so I text him like, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you on the game? And he just said, testing. Mm. And he said he tested negative. He's got to have one more. So he should be back for game two. But yeah, Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy both out. So it was weird. Mark Jones is doing play-by-play, Mark Jackson. But what was weird was in the middle of, was it the first or second? The sound, it was like if you have a two-channel stereo, one of the sounds went out and you could only hear, like there were commercials. There was a John Hamm commercial for Progressive Insurance with that lady Flo that's always doing stuff.
What do you mean, doing stuff?
John Hamm was on it and you couldn't hear the people talking at all. And I thought it was just me. I'm like, damn it, I think my TV screwed up. And so I'm messing around with the sound, and I don't have it. I just have it playing through the TV. And every commercial was like that, where I only had one channel sound, and it was the ambient sound or the music. It was not the speaking. Then the game comes on. So it must have been an ABC, just completely an ABC thing, not just for the broadcast, but for all the commercials as well. That lasted about, man, I want to say it lasted for about 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes, and then it got fixed. So that's the first time I've seen that in a broadcast, something that lasted that long on commercials and a broadcast. So we, in essence, were without the broadcast team. And one of my kids came in, Snacks came in and said, hey, can you come fix the TV out here? We can't hear the broadcasters. And I just said, no, it's an ABC issue. It has nothing to do with the TV. And I said, you want to hear the broadcasters? Yeah, it makes the game better. A lot of people love to just be the guy that says, this is so much better. This game's so much better with no broadcasters. Does anyone really think the game is much better without broadcasters, where all you're doing is watching it? I know that's the chic thing to say, that you say you like it. I like it better without any broadcasters. I don't want to have to hear any of them.
I don't think it's better. I mean, I get caught sometimes if I'm doing something else and I don't want to be distracted, and then maybe I'll just forget to take it off mute. But I'm not actively trying to listen to a game on mute because I think it adds to the experience. No. I know people hate certain broadcasters. I don't think Mark Jones or I don't think NBA people have that. Is there an NBA? It doesn't. That doesn't happen for NBA play-by-play guys. Not the national ones. Like, no one's like, man, I really wish Mike Breen wasn't calling this game. I don't think Mark Jones gets that either. That's more of an NFL thing where Joe Buck catches a lot of heat. But I don't think sitting in silence watching a sporting event makes it better.
No. No. And like I said, that's
maybe,
what...
Maybe if
the
you...
The cool kids try to say, it's actually better without anyone saying anything.
Is it?
Okay. Go to your Dance Gavin Dance concert.
See, why are you coming at me?
And eat your waffles and then come back.
But
and
I'm
talk.
Not the
I mean,
one
your pancakes.
I'm
your pancakes.
Not, yeah, I'm not the one.
I want to talk about you. I said
you
pancakes.
You somehow
it was
mentioned
a random. It was a random
a band.
Band.
In
it was
there.
A random band.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it was.
Random band I mentioned.
No. Go watch your significant other fawn over some guy in old 97, wear your brightly colored shoes, and your The Scumbags t-shirt. Oh, that's all that stuff is random. Oh, I wasn't talking
look
about
bright,
you. Oh, that's random.
These shoes are.
Yeah.
That's not random if you literally no. say the shirt I'm wearing right now.
No, I mean.
And my orange shoes.
That's just, I didn't say orange. I said brightly colored shoes. I don't know. The scum. Everybody has the Scumbags t-shirt.
I know.
That could be anyone.
You know when we were in New York, we went to Brooklyn to go see old 97s. I'm like, we see them all. Well, it's the
you
same
had to go
song.
See them in a different city?
Yeah. This is the worst.
What's his name? Rhett who?
Rhett Miller. Mm. He seems like a nice enough guy,
yeah,
but
it's
I want to hate
it's
him.
Enough, right?
But he's got the same like long hair.
He's 51. Just cut your hair.
He's got a girlish look. Like he looks like. Does he not?
I'm looking at him.
He's pretty. Like he's a pretty boy.
He looks like he forgot that the Rod Thomas look isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah, and he's like that's his thing. He's never cutting his hair. This is his. Look, he's married to a model.
Whoa.
So, I mean, he's done okay for himself and lives in upstate New York. He's from Dallas.
When Rob Thomas was first hitting and the hair.
Yeah.
But even that is longer than what Rob Thomas had it. But
oh, yeah.
He's got a Rob Thomas vibe. Back, Matchbox 20, if you don't know who Rob Thomas is.
God, why are some of the things on the internet that I have to see?
You don't terrible. Have to see anything.
There's a lot of childbirth stuff going on Twitter lately.
What?
Yeah. It's just too much.
Ugh.
Well, I'm saving it for News of the Weird. I'm actually going to try my own News of the Weird.
Okay, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that one works out. So one of the News of the Weird, it's not a News of the Weird item, but it could be, is when you lose a shortstop who gets paid over $30 million, you replace him with a rookie, and the rookie might actually be better. Not defensively. As a matter of fact, it's a long way apart from Carlos Correa's arm and Jeremy Pena's pop gun arm. I got to say it. Jeremy Pena's short hopping throws from shortstop is just not great where the ball nosedives down. He is not a plus defender. He's got good range. He's got great size. You think he's going to have this cannon, and it doesn't materialize. But what he does have is he's got a bat, and he's got some pop. And Phil Garner joined the wheelhouse, I believe, yesterday. As a matter of fact, yes, Phil Garner was on the wheelhouse, former Astros manager, and he talked about the comparisons from a hitting standpoint of Jeremy Pena and Carlos Correa.
I think Pena's got a chance of being a better hitter than Correa was. Once he learns the league a little bit, learns how they're pitching him, I think he'll make some adjustments. And it looks to me like he's going to have certainly plenty of strength. He's going to be able to hit for power. And I think as he learns the league a little bit, as he matures, he's going to be able to hit for average. And I don't think we're going to lose anything defensively. I think he's proven himself to be quite a good defensive player. So I've been really impressed with him all around as a player.
I think right off the bat, you see it. He's got more pop. He's super, confident at the plate. I don't think it's too early. Look, this is why you have to trust teams that are run by analytics, because I know it from an emotional standpoint. When you make decisions for a team, you can't let a fan base determine what you do. And the exciting thing was to say, pay that man, to wear your pay that man shirts. I get it. You know, from an emotional standpoint, Carlos Correa had been part of three World Series runs, one World Series win. He was one of the true leaders on the team. He's an elite defensive player. But when it's said and done, did Carlos Correa ever hit like a guy who should be paid $30 million? I mean, baseball is a two-way sport, and at Carlos's position, you need to be either a great hitter or a great fielder and be good at the other thing. The problem with Carlos Correa is there had been some health issues in the past, and you had had inconsistencies at the plate. Always a great defender. And when you look at what Jim Click did, and probably more importantly, Jim Crane, I don't know how much James Click. I don't know how much James Click had to do with this versus Jim Crane. I mean, I clearly think it was a Jim Crane decision, but I think James Click had a lot to do with it in terms of putting value on a player and understanding what the value was of Jeremy Peña. You got to let smart teams, and the Astros, I do believe, are a smart team. You've got to let smart teams make smart decisions. For fans, we can be as emotional as we want. We can yell and scream and boo when J.J. Watt gets drafted. The Philadelphia Eagle fans could boo Donovan McNabb all they want because they didn't get Ricky Williams. But guess what? Sometimes you just have to sit down and do what you think is best, the most intelligent thing, and you just don't listen to the fans. Don't listen to the noise outside. And they made a very smart move. And I think then there were a lot of fans who thought that letting Carlos go for over $30 million was the right move. You said you want to know how I know that the Astros are run as a smart organization? Because this is what general manager James Click said yesterday on the potential for putting Hunter Brown in the major league bullpen. I don't think there's a preponderance of evidence that would have a massively deleterious effect. That's what it is. Deleterious effect on his prospect status and ability to help us as a starter in the future.
That's not Man of the People
That's the talk of a guy who's smarter than waffle eaters.
Oh, all of a sudden waffles are a problem?
This guy's having
turkey
bacon. You
don't think he doesn't eat waffles?
No, he's probably eating turkey bacon, a slice of tomato. He's probably a healthy eater.
It's a terrible breakfast.
He's probably having
slice
brain
of tomato.
Food. You know what he's having? Blueberries and foods that are high in antioxidants.
You don't think waffles are brain food?
I don't think waffles are brain
waffles
food.
Waffles and syrup aren't brain
I
food?
I don't think waffles... syrup or brain food.
I don't know.
Once again, James Click, did you ever say, I don't think there's a preponderance of evidence that would have a massively deleterious effect on his prospect status and ability to help us start in the future?
Nerdy talk.
Yeah. Tim Perper would have just said, I don't think that, don't boom.
You hate
Shut up, Tim, you dummy.
I mean,
get your mouth out of the whipped cream. Quit shooting whipped cream in your mouth. Go figure out the minor league system.
If you don't know, if you had heard their retrospective where they couldn't stop, you know, patting themselves on the back.
That's right.
Did you get your
licks in on John last Friday?
No, it was supposed to be today where I talked about how you guys buried all the real stories about yourselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
We unearthed the best.
Yeah, I see you guys didn't have. I see like a trail of sales staff come in here and compliment you. I see you guys didn't do that.
No, we didn't have.
What did you? Or what's his
we
name?
We just called people and said, "Do you want to say good things about us?"
What about would Chris Jones have said good things about you?
No. We don't know why. He was a producer that just didn't like us.
Didn't like you. I understand that.
Well, we just told him like. You know, you got to be able to, like, be ready to do stuff other
be
than
ready.
Just answer the phones.
Be ready.
We just wanted to do his job, and apparently we found out after we left that he didn't like us.
He didn't like the job, the type of radio you guys did, right?
Yeah, I guess our first two producers didn't like us. The rest of them loved us.
You didn't bring those guys on to talk about you?
I don't know if Rusty's still around, and Chris Jones is, he's not even with the competitor. I think he's gone.
Fair
I
and balanced.
I don't know where he is.
Where's the fair and balance of... Like, if we need...
Time heals all wounds. I'm sure he would have said something good about
it. A real retrospective would have had you guys bringing on people who maybe didn't have the greatest opinion of yourself. You didn't bring me on.
We're not stupid. Not bringing on interns. One intern hated John from 610 days.
Why?
Some guy named Asher. I don't know. We found that later. He just told me one time, John was an a-hole. I hated
Well, that's
him.
Like, true. Who's going to fight that? Who's going to fight that? You're going to fight that John was an a-hole?
John didn't even say anything. Like, well, John didn't do anything with interns.
He's probably disrespectful.
Like, John says things that right now you kind of, like, he pulls a Jim Cott sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
Does he not Jim Cott some of the intern? Like, no, don't say that. Like, with Mary and Mary, tell your mom I said hi. Quit telling an intern
goes,
that
no,
you're
just
telling
being
her
nice.
Mom.
No, it doesn't sound
nice
like that.
Joke. Yeah, it
no,
just
it
sounds
sound
like
that.
You're, like, if I were to say, yeah, tell your mom I said hi, what does that sound like?
It sounds like what he said about my mom, that he could possibly be my dad.
Yeah, he said that to you.
Yeah, and
that's why we didn't get you on a retrospective show.
Because I would have had things to say.
Yeah, I forgot he told you that too.
You know, well,
tell
you
your
don't know.
Mom, I said, hi. Then, I could be your dad.
He goes, well, you don't know. You don't know. He goes, no, I never said that. I was just, your mom could have been in Chicago at some point. I was like, what?
So disrespectful. John is so disrespectful.
I mean, I just feel like that was a one-sided experience. There are other viewpoints that could have been heard, and they weren't.
Yeah, we kept them out strategically. If you had any beef with us or any airing of grievances, it was not going to happen on our 3-week self-congratulatory.
Yeah, you guys are like a
25 years.
You guys
of radio.
Are like a 30-year-old woman having her birthday month. You guys, God, how long was that going to take?
As long as it needed to take, Dell.
It's like, hey, it's May.
You know how easy those shows were?
Yeah, I bet, because all the work was done by RJ.
That's right. Hey, RJ, I just sent you some sound. Oh, get this thing formatted and ready to go. Hey, and OfferPad's doing it. If you don't want to have to do all the work, that's why we have companies like OfferPad, right? That's why we have guys like RJ. That's why we have companies like OfferPad. OfferPad says, look, you don't. It doesn't have to be work to sell your home. Some of you out there know that you have a home that is not sales ready. You don't want to have to do all your landscaping. You don't want to have to redo your home. Your home is not updated. The kitchen isn't updated. The bathroom's not updated. You know that there's a lot of work to be done, right? You know, your house is, you're not living in squalor, but your house is not ready to fetch, you know, the top market price. And it's expensive to try to fetch top market price. It's going to cost you tens and tens of thousands of dollars to be able to get there. Well, guess what? With OfferPad, they're going to make you a cash offer on your home. You don't have to get your home ready. You don't have to get all the yard work and landscaping done for curb appeal. You don't have to get all the interior stuff done and updated for you to sell your home. You can skip all the costly repairs. You can pick your closing day. No showings. You don't have to disrupt your pets' lives. And it all happens without upending your lifestyle. Save your sanity and simply go with OfferPad. Go to OfferPad.com, fill out the form, provide some basic information, and you're going to be ready to go. And they're going to have a cash purchase offer for you within 24 hours. Go to OfferPad.com. That's OfferPad.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's it.
This is trash. If you're going to play an
Avril Lavigne
song.
It's not trash.
No, if you're going to play an Avril Lavigne song, you play the original, Complicated, or you play Skater Boy. You don't play this.
You don't play this? This isn't it?
No, you play one of the original hits. Is that what you guys are nodding? Had him nod his head about? You want it to be a surprise? You think you're gonna embarrass me with that?
No,
Lavigne?
I didn't think you were gonna embarrass.
You're not gonna embarrass
we're
me.
We're making you happy.
You're not making me happy.
You came in. I want to make you happy
because you played the wrong
music.
Song.
No, I was want to give you some. Play Skater Boy
or Complicated
Play some.
You're gonna play
just
one.
Just play it underneath this. We'll just do the show.
That's fine. Give us play, play it under the Ralph Lawler and see if he reacts.
Give it the whole thing. What is this? This song.
What is this?
You said he's an older gentleman, right?
He's 84.
He's an 84-year-old play-by-play guy?
Not anymore. He's retired.
Oh, okay. And when did he retire?
I don't know. 3 years ago?
But he keeps up with everything?
Retired at 81.
Okay.
We hope so.
We're trusting RJ on this one. RJ's been pretty good at booking guests. There have been a couple we've been like, eh.
And?
It's like that with anybody. I mean, you got to see.
It's not always going to be a winner.
No. It's now exactly.
And that's more about the guests themselves and how they feel that day.
No,
really,
you just hustle them. You give them a shot, and then you go.
Obviously, you play one of these, the ones that were lighting up TRL back in the day.
Oh man, that guy Carson
Daly.
Yeah, Carson Daly. He ran TRL into that was a.
Turned
He's
it into
a power
his own,
broker.
Yeah, turned it into a. It was a late night
Have
show.
Have you noticed people like to get out of, like sports? You had Kevin
Jesse Palmer.
Well, Jesse Palmer has gotten out of the sports world.
I know you're talking
the
about
the one
Kevin.
They call Butter.
What's his name? Kevin who? I know who you're talking about.
He hosts
about.
Like Entertainment Tonight. He got out of the sports world.
Less money. It's more money. Kevin Frazier.
That's it. He got out a while back.
Yeah, he's been out. For
he's
a while.
Been out.
I can't believe Carson Daly's only 48.
Man, Carson Daly must have been hella young when he was doing that.
Yeah,
like 25, 26,
around
I guess.
Around there, probably
when he first started doing that. So one of the things that I've wanted to get to our first time getting to it is that. So there's concern around college football. We already know about the. You know, about NIL stuff and what it's going to do to college football and yada, yada, yada. But it's really more than that. I'm going to pull my little story up here because Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, recently said that, I'm pulling up right here, that it will cost Ohio State $13 million in NIL deals to keep a roster. According to Doug Lesmeris's of the Cleveland Pain Dealer, Day spoke to around 100 members of the business community in Columbus on Thursday and unveiled an NIL corporate ambassador program. The program seeks to connect local businesses. Now, this is tricky because the schools cannot be involved with this, but obviously they can basically whip up the money and go, do fundraising. I mean, you can do fundraising for schools. In essence, this is fundraising. But it is for NIL, but it's not illegal. It's not illegal. So he was in talking to the businesses there about NIL Corporate Ambassador Program. The program seeks to connect local businesses with Buckeyes players for endorsement deals, and Day hopes there will be plenty. One phone call, and they're out the door, Day said. We cannot let that happen, Ohio State. Now, he's obviously talking about just hanging on to his own roster. I'm not trying to sound the alarm. I'm just trying to be transparent about what we're dealing with. If the speed limit's 45 miles per hour and you drive 45 miles an hour, a lot of people are going to pass you by. If you go too fast, you're going to get pulled over. So take that for what it's worth. Day estimated it'll cost about $2 million for a top-shelf quarterback and about $1 million for a high-level edge rusher and offensive tackle. A total for the players the Buckeyes can't live without will likely be around $13 million, according to head coach Day. Ryan Day is putting a price tag on his players right now. This does not feel like what NIL was supposed to be with, now the punter for Central Florida is able to do his TikTok videos and make his money. No, that's not what it is. In December 2021, top quarterback recruit Quinn Ewers transferred to Texas after spending one season with Ohio State. Ewers reportedly received an NIL deal worth $1 million upon joining Ohio State, and it's believed he received a significant deal to join Texas. So what Ewers did is come over, use Ohio State to get his first deal, and then took off to get a second deal once it was allowed in Texas.
He got paid for a year to not play football. I know Ryan Day is saying he's not sounding alarm, although he actually is. The Caleb Williams thing was very unique because it involved his coach leaving. The likelihood of an established star quarterback leaving his current system, particularly a guy who knows he's going to be an NFL prospect and just dipping out, like what it'd be 2 years into his college career to go play someplace else.
Well, Jordan Addison is the one.
That's a receiver.
That's the one that scares people.
That scares people, but there's also some circumstances regarding that. His OC is gone. Mark Whipple was the OC, went to go to Nebraska. The starting quarterback that he was with.
I think they just let Whipple go. I think they let his contract expire and didn't bring him back, which
seems
that
odd.
Was surprising. Maybe, I don't know, that was surprising. Something else has got to be
like the Addison thing 10 years ago, hell, even 2 years ago, probably doesn't happen. Certainly doesn't happen because he would have to sit out a year unless he was a grad transfer. But there are some circumstances regarding that, how it happened. Like I said, the OC left, Kenny Pickett, his starting quarterback is gone. If you don't believe much in Kadon Slovis or Keaton Slovis, understandable. He throws a lot more picks than he should. And you've got a year to go play with Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley, who puts up numbers. Understand. I know why it freaks people out. I get it. But because a star player left. But it wasn't going to be the same Pittsburgh.
But does this not concern you that a coach for Ohio State who cranks out a lot of pros, do you think he's being... I do wonder, and look, I'm extremely concerned about the state of college football because the pairing of the portal... You know, if the transfer portal still had the 1 year, that's a deterrent to keep people from just recruiting off your roster. the top players. More than likely, you're still going to go. I mean, still going to go pull guys off of, you know, the lower level teams and try to get them to transfer. The grad transfer thing, I thought was really cool. Like, I like the idea of grad transfer. Like, hey, I got an extra year because I'm a graduate transfer. Let me go just have my final year somewhere else. I kind of like that concept. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't love what NIL has become because clearly it's not what was originally anticipated. It was what I anticipated. I said John and I had arguments, and I was right because it was obvious what was going to happen. But with that all said, are you not worried a little bit about how this could be a Premier League international soccer where guys just bounce from school to school? I do think Ohio State is a little different because they crank out pro prospects.
But it's possible that, like, I think the scary thing was that it happened to Pittsburgh, where you had a star player that you developed, and he, at first chance, where things weren't perfect for him, he decided to go play for USC. I understand why that freaks people out, but on the highest levels, Jackson Smith and Jigba's, and even if he didn't get a giant NIL deal, is he going to leave CJ Stroud and Brian Hartline, who's his wide receiver coach, and all the production he's going to see this year after Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave left to go play someplace else? I think the environment of who you're playing with matters quite a bit. I think Jordan Addison looked at his roster and goes, there's not a lot on this offense. Am I going to get my same numbers? Let me go someplace else where I think that's a unique situation, but sure. Because of the rules now, it allows for that situation to occur.
When we come back, I'm going
to
address...
We're going to talk to Ralph Lawler, correct?
Oh, well, we're going to talk to Ralph Lawler. Yes, we are going to talk to Ralph. Well, you know what, Chives? I don't have a chance to get it. He just says, can you tell me why y'all, American public, are bleeping their pants over the fact that players are getting paid to do a professional job? I'll just go bit by bit. It's not a professional job. The pros are a professional job. If you had something where you take the scholarship away and you say you can make this, you pay back the scholarship. If this is just a platform to make you money, then the scholarship should not be part of it. My belief is that if you want to make college athletics about scholarships and student athletes, create a separate professional league, Chives. I'm with you. Create a separate league where guys can get paid as they wait to go into the NFL, a secondary minor league, so to speak. I'm cool with that. Why do y'all care? Who cares what Addison gets? Why? What is there to freak out about? Why do Americans absolutely hate seeing oppressed groups get beer money? Number two, it's not beer money. And I do think that they should have increased stipend money. First of all, schools get $900 to $1,200, players do, in stipends. So people act like there's no beer money. There's beer money, and there's a lot of these guys are getting paid anyway, Chives. Let's quit acting like our guys are starving. I can't understand. It's just Americans thinking players are slaves to billionaires. It's not billionaire. This is college. That's the whole thing. People assume colleges are pros, but it's college that made the mistake of having – it's really college coaches who held universities hostage with these renegotiations of contracts that were already up. They're the ones that started this, frankly. And the outlandish rates that college coaches – it makes it hard for you to – I was telling my dad this. I'm like, how do you argue against the NIL or paying players – when college coaches are going after schools, leaking information, getting new contracts all the time? Like, their contracts don't matter.
No.
How do you tell college players they have to live by a separate set of standards? College is the one that let this happen. Universities and college coaches are responsible for it. Got to break it. Ralph Lawler coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. You can go to underdogfantasy.com, underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio, and you are going to get they'll match up to $100. $100 is what they're going to match. And you can use that for four entries at 25 apiece, four entries into Best Ball Mania 3. What is Best Ball Mania 3? It's a fantasy football season-long event where you draft your team, and you draft in pods, so really good players are available to you. You obviously, with thousands of people playing, the draft doesn't work the same way. You'll draft in a pod of, I think, 12, I believe it's 12 owners, and then you're all going to be in one big group. But how cool is this? You can draft all the players that you want to, and then at the end, your team stays the same. You know, if you're unlucky, you have injuries, that's why you get multiple teams. But what will happen is if you really know the game and you draft the guys who are the breakout stars, guess what? There's no managed roster management. You don't have to draft. You don't have to sit and start. You don't have to, have waiver wire pickups. Your highest scoring players each week is what your score is. And at the end of the year, the aggregate scoring, The winner is going to get the big chunk of the pie. And this year, it's $10 million in cash and prizes. Make sure you go to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code radio.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Got him again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
9:38 here on The Bench with Lance and Dell. Joining us right now is Ralph Lawler. And Ralph, we appreciate you joining us. Longtime voice of the Clippers, Dell, a guy that you, when you lived on the West Coast, you watched basketball, and so you're familiar with his work?
Yeah. Lawler's Law. First 100 wins. I remember it. growing up listening to it.
Lawler's Law. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Ralph.
It's my pleasure, guys. Nice talking to you.
Let's get right to it from a basketball standpoint. You know, what Golden State has built is really tremendous. They've done a great job of building through the draft, supplementing with veterans, and then figuring out a way to sustain it all. And sustaining a run like this is extremely difficult. It takes a commitment. You really have to be team-oriented, and I think they've got the right mix of guys who are about team first and individual stuff second. They just happen to be wildly talented from an individual standpoint in terms of Klay and Steph. How do you, in your estimation, and you've seen the Clippers, for example, try to build it in a variety of different ways over the years, how do you see the future of basketball? Is it going to be build and sustain, or is it going to just have to be where you do a heavy share of purchasing your players and being involved in the free agent market and, you know, in the recruiting process of player on player?
I wish that were not the case, but I fear that it probably is, and that's going to wind up with teams in your major media markets having a huge advantage over the smaller market change because they're going to have the money and they're going to be able to entice free agents and make a huge difference because, of course, in basketball, one player can make a big difference. It's not baseball. It's not football. And watching the game last night, and I got to give a lot of credit to Bob Myers, their general manager, and Steve Kerr, their coach. They've done a marvelous job. The 6 final appearances in 8 years. The three-point shot has just become an overwhelming part of the game. I think in last night's game, almost exactly half of the shots taken by the two teams were three-pointers. And Boston got, you know, crazy hot in the fourth quarter and overcame a 12-point deficit to win it. I just think that that's not really a good look for the team. It's taken away a lot of the fundamentals of basketball if you can just get a guy that can come down the court and fire it up in 25 feet.
Ralph, going back to 2014, you called a playoff series between the Clippers and the Warriors, and then the Clippers did win that series and they faced the Thunder. So at that point, it felt like those three teams were jockeying for position to see who was next in line because this was the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin Clippers, and we all know about the Thunder and the Warriors. What was the prospectus for those three teams going into that playoff run and coming out of it, and what did you think was going to happen regarding those three teams?
Well, the thing that makes it a difficult question to answer is that was the series during which club owner Donald Sterling was, you know, caught on the TMZ tape, and it's amazing that the Clippers were able to survive and win that series at all in 7 games against Golden State, and they were reeling as they went to Oklahoma City because the newspapers were filled every day not with stories about the team's success or its challenges, but about the ownership crisis and what was going to happen. The owner was banned, and the president of the ball club was relieved of his duties. All this was going on, so the team was trying to concentrate on, you know, battling against you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and so on, with that very good Thunder basketball team. And the Clippers had every chance to win it, but had a, I think it was a 7-point lead with 45 seconds to go in a pivotal game five. And they had just had enough at that point. They just crumbled and lost that game and lost that series. After that, every appearance was seemed as though the L.A. Clippers had a chance to take the next step and get to the conference finals or get to the finals or win a championship. Something would happen, an injury to Chris Paul 1 year, to Blake Griffin another, to both of them one season. And we'll just never know how good that team could have been. I think they had championship talent and championship coaching in Doc Rivers, but it is so hard to win in this league. Few people realize it, except for the players and the coaches who have to make it happen. It's a tough league to win.
We've got so one of the things we want to – well, we got RJ, our producer, who booked you, as a matter of fact, is also a huge basketball fan, Lakers fan on the West Coast, so you have to forgive him, Ralph. But RJ had a question for you as well.
Yes, sir. So what I wanted to ask you was, you see two former players now having a basketball podcast that you used to cover, and Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. Just wanted to know your feelings, you know, on them, and if you had any – you know, like great stories from the past that you had about them. And maybe will we see you on their podcast, the Knuckleheads podcast, one day?
Well, I'd be open for the invitation for sure. But the Knuckleheads are great. Their podcast is doing very, very well. I'm so happy. They are two good friends. When I announced my retirement from the Clippers in 2019, they had a big Ralph Lawler night, and Q and D. Miles flew in from Orlando to be there to help honor me, and it just meant the world to me. But the important thing is that Darius Miles, after his career struggle, became kind of a lost soul. Was still living in East St. Louis, where he grew up, some tough and mean streets. I've been there to his old home with him. It's a tough area to survive in, and a lot of his friends did not survive. But he went back there and was struggling while Quentin Richardson was in Orlando, where he had played and had a wife and was raising kids and was just becoming a pillar of the community, and was hurt that his friend Darius Miles was struggling so, had no money, had no future, had no course for the rest of his life. And Quentin kept encouraging Darius to move to Orlando. And finally he did. And it was a different environment. He was surrounded by a different quality of people. And the two of them started thinking what they could do together. And they came up with this podcast idea. And it's been a smashing success. And I am just so happy for both of them, but especially for Darius Miles, because he needed a path and did not see it, but for his friend Quentin Richardson. When those two were with the basketball team, they were like bread and butter. I mean, they were together all the time. You couldn't find one without finding the other. They were inseparable, and they always had a smile on their face, and they were such a joy to be around. I'm thrilled for their success.
Ralph, before we let you go, your thoughts on, so you've seen basketball play with Dan, I'm assuming you called Danny Manning when he was there with the Clippers. You've seen all different levels and styles of basketball, from the hand check physicality out front to the flow of the 80s basketball and into the 90s before it changed a little bit. You see the heavy three-point shooting right now. What is your favorite brand of basketball, and how do you like, there's so many star players right now. Do you think this brand of basketball, the three-point shooting, hurts the amount of star power that the NBA has, or are you happy with the way the NBA is played right now? Do you not have a problem with it?
No, I don't like the preponderance of three-point shooting that I mentioned earlier last night's game, 86 three-point shots. Yeah. Taking like six were taken in that game, for crying out loud. That's too much. I'd say the 80s and 90s had the best quality of basketball. I wish they could get back to some of that. It's too much isolation and too much three-point shooting right now, I think. And yet the game remains very, very popular. I think a three-point shot remains very popular with the fans. I just wish they could move that line back. They tried moving it in crazily a number of years ago now, and it was an absolute disaster because it became like shooting layups for the players. But they could get it from 23-9 out to 25 or 26 feet, eliminate that short corner three, which is just a ridiculously easy shot for today's players. I think when they brought the shot in 1979-80, Brian Taylor, who played for the Clippers in San Diego, led the league with makes, and it was like 90-some. And he had been in the ABA, so he knew how to shoot it. The other players grew up. None of them had ever shot the three-point shot, so it was a brand-new talent for them to learn. Over the years now, all the kids want to shoot three-pointers, and they grow up with that. I just think it is too easy right now. Some people, and even some in the NBA front office, favor adding a four-point shot and putting it back on, I don't know what the distance is, looking at 28 feet or whatever. But for Steph Curry, that would still be a pretty easy shot. But I guess I'm too much of a traditionalist to feel the four-point shot's a good idea. But I do think they should move that three-point shot back a bit. It'll open up the whole court for players to really play basketball.
That is Ralph Lawler, former voice of the Clippers. We certainly appreciate you waking up and joining the show with us, talking a little basketball before we wrap up the weekend and get ready for game two. Of course, Warriors beaten at home by 12 by a Celtics team that punished them in the fourth quarter, 40-16. So, I mean, some talented players on the court. We could be seeing a change in the guard, but we'll wait and see if that actually transpires beyond game one. Ralph, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, it's going to be a short one, but News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats now. I've got one for you, Dell, about winning the lottery. Winning the lottery sounds like good luck, but it doesn't always. It could also be the greatest tease that you ever experience.
You don't know how many teases I've experienced.
I was going to let you finish that one for me. It's 9, where are we at right now? 9:49 right here on the bench. Time for me to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing. Aqueduct Plumbing, trustworthy, reliable. They do big jobs. They do small jobs. You need a gas line move, they can do it. You need you need someone to go through the wall and completely redo some of the piping that you have behind the wall of your shower because there's a big issue there. They can do that for you as well. You want to redo your bathroom to where you are installing a bathtub or a brand new shower. They can work with you on all of that as well. They handle all the plumbing stuff. Look, they're not doing the drywalling and the tile stuff. They're plumbers, but that's what they do. They don't have subcontractors working for them. They're all workers for Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They have their own multiple trucks that are out there throughout the Houston area taking care of your plumbing issues. They're a reliable company, and most importantly, you can trust them. We have vetted them. We have used them. And they're somebody that I feel really good about telling our listeners about because we know that they're going to take care of you with fair prices, fair estimates, and fair work. Go to thebenchplumbing.com for more information or to set up your free phone call. They don't charge you to come out and take a look at your issue. Thebenchplumbing.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
News of the Weird is brought to you by my friends over at Simple Seats. Simple Seats, of course, you're going to get the best seats, the best prices, never any fees. Make sure you go to simpleseats.com. That's simpleseats.com. Now, Let's go with news of the wear. I don't usually do these, Dell, but I think I've got a couple of good ones. I told you, winning a $10 million lottery, that's not the highest lottery you can win, but you know, $10 million is pretty sweet, right? Well, a North Carolina man who won $10 million lottery prize in 2017 has been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole in the 2020 fatal shooting of his girlfriend. The News and Observer reports that Michael Todd Hill, 54, of Leland, was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced Friday to the killing of 23-year-old Kiana Graham of Navassa. And, yeah, he did bad things reading from this and is going to go to jail. So that money, if he didn't spend it, will not be spent. I don't know where it goes, but...
Does he have, like, a trust that it goes into? He won't be able to spend
it? In reading the story, I'm guessing, in getting to know a little bit about Michael, I don't think there was a trust necessarily.
Does a next of kin get to take control of that?
I don't know that was set up in advance, but maybe there will be now.
I mean, if you go to jail, if you didn't win the money through ill-gotten gains, that's still your money, right?
Yes.
So where does it just sit in a bank account for all of time if he goes to jail for life?
Presumably, it just goes to sports tokens.
I don't think that's how
it
works.
It's just a random drawing.
I don't know if that works.
How about this, Dell? There's nothing better than going online and watching childbirth videos.
I believe there's plenty better.
This is now three of them I've seen. This one is the proud mom making a splash online after filming herself delivering her baby in the waves of the Pacific Ocean. Josie Pucart posted her original Instagram video back in February.
Her name is Pucart?
Pucart. Pucart. Maybe Pucart. I just take liberties.
Appropriate.
200,000 viral views now, thanks to social media word of mouth. The 27-year-old's unconventional water birth has resulted in commenters alternately hailing her as empowering and, quote-unquote, endangering. She's laying in the ocean as water crashes in on the coast, on the coast of the Pacific. She's just bent over, just shooting it out,
huh? What's more disgusting, the first 15 minutes of the boys or a childbirth video?
No, the boys.
Okay.
Not even close.
Trying to gauge what
it's
I'm in for.
It's the most disgusting thing I have ever seen. I don't even know what kind of mind of a person would come up with
a
this
sick one,
with this scenario.
A sick mind would.
How about this one? Norm MacDonald, in a story that that Adam Sandler recently told, he said he went up into the apartment of Norm MacDonald where he found $25,000 of an Atlantic City chips in his refrigerator and said, "Hey, what's this?" And he goes, "Yeah, I went big on Friday." He said, "Well, why didn't you cash in?" "I wanted to come over here and talk to Bernie Brillstein to see how I can figure out not to have to pay taxes on it." The next time Norm saw him on Saturday Night Live just a couple weeks later, I lost it all. I didn't have the money. I lost all playing poker.
Yeah, gambling seems like a great thing to be able to do.
$25,000 in the refrigerator. Why would you put them in the fridge?
I guess so he knew where they were. I don't know. He lost out on $25,000 because he was afraid to pay taxes on it and then spent it all, gambled it all, and took part in none of it.
A social media influencer by the name of Mary Magdalene, 25-year-old quote-unquote model, was asked to leave a plane from Toronto to Dallas due to... Dallas.
Is it her cat face?
Well, she says... Now, she donned leggings and a sports bra for her $5,000 Tuesday flight. That's got to be big-time first class. She says... she was told the cabin crew threw her off the aircraft for wearing her headphones and not listening to instructions, which all of us do all the time. True. She believes it's actually because she has 22-pound breasts. And if you saw this, the entire thing, the lips, the face, the breasts, the whole thing.
I wasn't kidding about cat face. She has a cat face.
She got cat face. It's basically like you have to go.
Get off my plane.
What for? You're
disturbing all of us.
You just can't stay here with this.
There's children here, ma'am.
That's why she's going to win. I'm sorry. You're not an ally for women that want to be empowering and wear a sports bra she has?
I'm not an ally of cat faces.
I'm not either.
No, I don't like them.
No, should be.
No.
Y'all really have to stop this stuff. This cat face stuff has to stop.
Too far.
Catfishing? Okay. Fair play.
Understood.
Yeah, fair play. And by the way, that's a great British term, fair play. It needs to be incorporated more into what we do as Americans. That's going to do it for the weekend, or for the week. We send you into the weekend. But first, listen to Vanessa and Galant and all the great shows here on the station. Thanks to Dell for coming in today. And thanks to RJ. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you.
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.